content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Woodward for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Week magazine. Today, we're reading from the two-week issue dated December 27th, 2024, January 3rd, 2025. And we are indeed in our second week reading of the end of year issue of the week titled The Faces of 2024. Last week we did more of the current news, and this week we will do more of the year in review articles. In fact, the main article is titled The Year in Review. It is a two-page spread that goes month by month. So settle in and let's do the year in review. January. Election year dawns with President Biden warning of the dangers of a second Donald Trump term, slamming the twice-impeached former president for trying to steal the last election with the aid of a violent mob on January 6, 2021. Biden says democracy will be on the ballot in November. But Trump, 77, remains the clear leader for the Republican nomination. His main challenger, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, drops out after Trump wins the Iowa caucuses in a 30 percentage point rout. Trump's only serious remaining rival is former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. Democrats are united behind Biden, but with little enthusiasm. Biden, 81, is the oldest president in U.S. history, and one of the most unpopular, with an approval rating stuck around 40%. Also in the race is independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., 70, a Democratic scion and anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist. He polls at a surprising robust 10%. Three U.S. soldiers are killed in Jordan, and more than 40 others are wounded in a drone attack by Iranian-backed militants. February. In Washington, D.C., Special Counsel Robert Hur finds that Biden willfully retained classified documents after leaving the vice presidency in 2017. But he does not recommend charges, saying Biden presents a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory on whom a jury would likely take pity. I am well-meaning, Biden tells reporter, and I know what the hell I'm doing. Fox News host and MAGA influencers spread the elaborate conspiracy theory that the Super Bowl will be rigged in the Kansas City Chiefs' favor to promote the romance between Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, thus setting the stage for the pop star to endorse Biden and sway the election. The Chiefs defeat the 49ers 25-22. Days after, right-wing podcaster Tucker Carlson conducts a fawning interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny dies in an Arctic prison camp. The Kremlin says the 47-year-old, who in 2020 narrowly survived being poisoned with the Soviet-era nerve agent, succumbed to sudden death syndrome. March. Iowa Guard and three-point phenom Caitlin Clark becomes the NCAA Division I all-time leading scorer across men and women's basketball. Also thriving, Donald Trump, who wins 14 state primaries on Super Tuesday, prompting Haley to suspend her campaign. He also wins at the Supreme Court, which unanimously rules that Colorado, Illinois, and Maine cannot use the 14th Amendment, which bars former officials who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion from federal office to remove Trump from their ballots. On the campaign trail, Trump calls jailed January 6 rioters hostages and migrants animals and warns there will be a bloodbath if he's not elected. Trump leads Biden by 1 to 2 points in polls. In Baltimore, an out-of-control cargo ship smashes into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, killing six construction workers and crippling one of the nation's busiest shipping ports. April. With 33,000 Palestinians dead, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejects U.S. demands to agree to a ceasefire in the six-month-old Gaza war, a conflict sparked by the October 7, 2023 massacre of 1,200 Israelis by Iran-backed Hamas. Seven aid workers with World Central Kitchen are killed in Israeli drone strikes on a humanitarian convoy in Gaza, an attack Israel calls a mistake, adding fuel to the anti-Israel protest on college campuses across the U.S. At a Gaza solidarity encampment at New York's Columbia University, protesters chant pro-Hamas slogans, occupy university buildings, and harass students, many of them Jewish. Iran fires more than 300 drones and missiles at Israel in retaliation for an Israeli strike in Syria that killed two of its top military commanders. Most of the projectiles are intercepted. In Washington, House Speaker Mike Johnson defies his party's right wing to pass a long-delayed bipartisan $95.3 billion military aid package for Ukraine and Israel. Millions of Americans don protective glasses to watch a total solar eclipse. I was not prepared for the awe that came with it, says one viewer. May. It's revealed that RFK Jr. once tried to reduce alimony payments to his second wife by claiming he suffered cognitive struggles after a parasite ate a portion of his brain. He likely contracted the brain worm from eating undercooked pork. Vowing to save our beef, DeSantis signs a law banning the sale of lab-grown meat in Florida. Trump becomes the first former president convicted of a crime after a New York jury finds him guilty of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to porn actress Stormy Daniels in the final weeks of the 2016 election. Within an hour of the verdict, Trump sends out a fundraising email declaring himself a political prisoner. It raises $53 million in 24 hours. June. Biden's son Hunter is convicted of having lied on a 2018 gun permit application while in the throes of drug addiction. Biden pledges to respect the judicial process before flying to Camp David to prepare for a presidential debate with Trump. Biden's debate performance is a disaster. Speaking in barely audible rasp, he mangles sentences, loses his train of thought, and at one point boasts that we finally beat Medicare. Trump delivers a familiar stream of bluster and falsehoods, but it hardly matters. The debate sends Democrats into full-blown panic, and before the candidates have left the stage, there are calls for Biden to make way for a younger candidate. July. In a rare sit-down interview, a defiant Biden tells ABC's George Stephanopoulos that he just had a bad night and has no plans to quit the race. Trump gets an unexpected gift when the Supreme Court rules that former presidents enjoy absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts undertaken while in office. The decision is a major blow to Jack Smith, the special counsel prosecuting Trump for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election and for hoarding classified documents after leaving office. At a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, a gunman opens fire at Trump, killing a supporter in the crowd and critically injuring two others. A counter-sniper kills the would-be assassin, and a bloody Trump, nicked in the ear by a bullet, rises with a raised fist, telling the crowd, "Fight, fight, fight." Elon Musk, the planet's richest person, posts on his X platform, "I fully endorse President Trump." At a raucous Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Trump appears with a bandaged ear to accept the GOP nomination and announce his running mate, populist Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who has assailed top Democrats as childless cat ladies. Biden withdraws from the presidential race in the best interest of my party and the country, and endorses Vice President Kamala Harris as his replacement. Democrats rally behind Harris, 59, who becomes the party's nominee within 24 hours of Biden's exit. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh is assassinated in Tehran in a suspected Israeli operation. August. Polls that had shown Biden trailing Trump now give Harris a 2 to 3 point lead. She names Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her Veep pick, and they embark on a tour of swing states, speaking to overflow crowds of energized Democrats. Harris frames her campaign around the messages of joy and freedom, and at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, gives a speech that, with its praise for America's lethal military and the entrepreneurial drive of small business owners, could have been delivered by the nominee of the pre-Trump GOP. Angered by Biden's departure, Trump claims photos of packed Harris rallies are AI-generated. More than 2 years into the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Ukraine invades Russia, seizing hundreds of square miles of the Kursk region. Polling at about 7%, RFK Jr. ends his presidential bid and endorses Trump, who he says has promised him a role in his next administration. September. Trump and Harris meet in Philadelphia for their final and only debate. From the opening moments when Harris strides across the stage and forces Trump into a grudging handshake, the vice president gets the best of their encounter. In the debate's most memorable moment, a red-faced Trump splutters that immigrants are eating the dogs and eating the cats, a reference to debunked rumors amplified by Vance that Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio, have been killing neighbors' pets for food. Minutes after the debate, Taylor Swift endorses Harris for president. In Florida, another would-be assassin is arrested outside Trump's golf club. Using airstrikes and exploding pagers and walkie-talkies, Israel eliminates the top ranks of Lebanese military Hezbollah, which has been bombarding Israel since October 7th. Among those killed is Hassan Nasrallah, who has led the Iran-backed group for more than 3 decades. As the hottest summer on record ends, Hurricane Helene slams into the southern U.S., killing at least 234 people and leaving a trail of destruction from Florida to the Carolinas. Trump falsely claims the Biden administration has diverted disaster relief aid to their illegal immigrants. October. Israel launches what it calls a limited ground operation in Lebanon against Hezbollah. Despite polls showing the presidential race effectively tied, Democrats hope Trump's increasingly unhinged rhetoric, including calls for the military to handle his evil political opponents, will alienate centrist voters. Democrats are also buoyed by apparent disarray within the Trump camp. While Walz and Harris systematically barnstorm crucial swing states, Trump sits down for freewheeling chats on the Joe Rogan Experience and other Manosphere podcasts, and holds a closing rally at Madison Square Garden in the deep blue state of New York, where a warm-up comedian jokes that there's a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. I think it's called Puerto Rico. As the campaign concludes, top Democrats describe the mood in Harris' camp as nauseously optimistic. November. Trump is elected to be the 47th president of the United States. His margin of victory is relatively slender, 49.9 to 48.4%, but he sweeps all 7 swing states. Democrats also lose the Senate, fail to take the House, and see their electoral coalition shattered, with Trump making gains among women, black voters, and Hispanics. Preempting his now inevitable firing, Jack Smith files paperwork to dismiss the outstanding criminal cases against Trump, who is already naming members of his second cabinet. Alongside some relatively sober picks, Trump taps vaccine skeptic RFK Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, and Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democratic lawmaker and Putin sympathizer, to be Director of National Intelligence. For Attorney General, Trump picks Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, who is under congressional investigation for alleged sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. After pushback from GOP senators, Gaetz withdraws and is replaced with Pam Bondi, a former Florida Attorney General who echoed Trump's false claims of voter fraud in 2020. MAGA bomb thrower Kash Patel is named as Trump's pick for FBI director. Patel has vowed revenge on Trump's critics, not just in government, but in the media. North Korea sends some 10,000 troops to join a fast-advancing Russian offensive against Ukraine, and Hezbollah and Israel agree to a ceasefire in a war that has killed nearly 4,000 people in Lebanon. December. President Biden reverses himself and issues a sweeping pardon to Hunter, shielding his son from prosecution for all and any crimes he may have committed since 2014. In the Middle East, Syria's 13-year civil war abruptly ends when rebel forces seize Damascus and dictator Bashar al-Assad flees to Moscow. In New York, Brian Thompson, CEO of United Healthcare, the nation's largest health insurer, is gunned down outside a Manhattan hotel. The masked shooter escapes, but 5 days later, a suspect is apprehended and identified as Luigi Mangione, 26, an Ivy League graduate from a wealthy family. Mangione is allegedly found with a 3D-printed ghost gun and a short manifesto declaring, "These parasites had it coming." In a Meet the Press interview, Trump vows to pardon January 6 rioters on his first day in office and threatens to imprison members of the House January 6 committee that investigated his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. But the president-elect insists he won't be focused on revenge. "I'm looking to make our country successful," he says. "Retribution will be through success." And that is your 2024 year in review. The Poll Watch is a regular short feature on the Talking Points page that we sometimes hit. They've done an article here where they combine a lot of those into a series of questions. The way we were in 2024, we worried about political violence and an AI apocalypse, but found comfort in naps and crime stories. How are we feeling? Worried and out of sorts. 43% say their anxiety levels are up, and 78% think the country is headed in the wrong direction. 55% say our political and economic systems need major changes, and 20% that an outburst of violence may be required to get the nation back on track. Things are so bad that 34% of Americans would gladly pack their bags and move abroad if they could. The highest number in 50 years. Still, some think better days are ahead. 86% of Republicans are optimistic, and 76% excited about Donald Trump's coming return to office. Democrats don't share those good vibes. 76% are afraid, 68% angry after Trump's election win. Whom do we fault for America's woes? President Biden, for one. 58% disapprove of his performance, and 58% say his policies have caused prices to rise. But there's plenty of blame to go around. 66% think members of Congress are heightening the country's divisions, and only 37% believe those lawmakers have voters' best interest in mind. Journalists are even less trusted. Only 31% are confident that the mainstream media reports the news accurately and fairly. More Americans, 37%, trust the information they get on social media. How has society changed? We're less heterosexual. Nearly 8% now identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or queer, up from 6% in 2020, 4% in 2012. And we've become less open to immigrants. 55% want to see the number of legal and illegal arrivals reduced, the highest share since 2001. And 53% want all or most undocumented immigrants deported. 34% agree with Trump that undocumented immigrants are poisoning the blood of the country. Tolerance for political differences has also taken a hit. 61% say it'd be a deal breaker if a date didn't share their political views. And 32% would immediately bail on a year-old relationship if a partner suddenly started supporting a different political party. What are we afraid of? Artificial intelligence rattles many of us. 75% fear it will take jobs from Americans, and 39% that it could wipe out humanity. Still, 44% use AI tools regularly. 42% worry the U.S. could be sucked into a wider war in the Middle East. 56% that Russia might use nuclear weapons. And 47% that another civil war is likely in the U.S. 11% worry about encountering a ghost. But 42% would rather live in a genuinely haunted house than next door to outspoken conservatives. 36% feel the same about living next to outspoken progressives. How do we chill out? Ideally, by closing our eyes. 47% say napping is their top way to unwind, that only 26% get the recommended 8 hours of sleep a night. Might explain why so many like to doze in the day. Putting down our devices could help us get more sleep. We spend 6 hours and 35 minutes on average a day staring at screens, and 60% always use their phone within an hour of going to bed. 51% think their late-night phone habits hurt their sleep quality. Our obsession with murders, cults, and catfishing schemes might also be keeping us awake. 57% enjoy true crime TV shows, films, and podcasts. And 32% get their crime hit right before bed. 37% say they get a kick from the mysteries. And 6% that the often grisly tales make them feel comforted. At the bottom of this page, we have a few short pieces. There's a column called It Must Be True. I read it in the tabloids, and I don't always read those, but let's take the best of the tabloids in 2024. A Utah woman thought her beloved indoor cat had escaped until she was told the pet was found in an Amazon return box that had been shipped to California. After 7 days of searching every nook and cranny for Tabby Galena, Carrie Clark of Lehigh learned that stunned workers at an Amazon return center had found the cat inside a large box amid 5 pairs of steel-toed work boots. The cat apparently jumped in the box before Clark's husband sealed and shipped it. Galena survived the 5-day trip with only mild dehydration and weight loss. "It's a total miracle," said Clark. An Indiana man was pulled over twice while piloting a car modified to look like an alien craft to a UFO festival in Roswell, New Mexico. Steve Anderson was stopped by police in Missouri and Oklahoma, who gave him warnings for a lane violation and an obstructed license plate. The Missouri cops said they also advised him of our strict enforcement of warp speed on the interstate. Anderson, 67, a mechanic, built the craft by converting a 1991 Geo Metro. "It's boring to be an adult," he said. You've got to have fun. A man who was caught allegedly burglarizing a Rome apartment after he became engrossed in a book about the Iliad he found on a table. After entering through a balcony, the would-be thief spied a copy of the book and, thinking the apartment empty, sat down to peruse it. When the owner awoke, he found the intruder still reading. The man bolted out via the balcony but was quickly arrested. Giovanni Nucci, author of the book The Gods at 6 o'clock, hopes to send the man a copy. "I'd like him to be able to finish it," he said. Four Los Angeles residents were charged with insurance fraud after they submitted photos and videos purporting to show a bear damaging their luxury vehicles, which actually showed a human in a bear costume. The four received nearly $142,000 after providing evidence of a supposed bear inside a Rolls-Royce and two Mercedes. But a state biologist who reviewed the tapes noted that it was quite obvious the bear did not move like a bear and easily opened car doors. A search of the suspect's home turned up a bear costume. The review of health and science and technology over the years, another two-page spread that I think will be interesting. They break it into the categories of some of the things they said were good for us, some of the things they told us to avoid, and the big scientific breakthroughs of 2024. So we'll just run through all of them. Some of the things they said were good for us. Sleeping in may significantly lower the risk of heart disease. Researchers looked at data from 90,903 people and split them into four groups based on how much extra shut-eye they got on the weekend. Over the follow-up period of about 14 years, those who clocked the most additional Z's, up to 16 hours in some cases, had a 19% lower chance of developing heart disease compared with those who had the least weekend sleep. Study author Yang Jung Song says the link becomes even more pronounced among individuals who regularly experience inadequate sleep on weekdays. Bright swimsuits, which are much easier for lifeguards to spot. Alive Solutions, a water safety company, placed swimsuits of 14 different colors in a swimming pool and a lake to test how well they could be seen. In the pool, neon pink and neon orange were the most visible. Darker colors like blues and greens were often mistaken for shadows, and white or light blue become all but invisible. In lake water, neons other than pink, like orange or yellow, were best. Of course, says Alive Solutions founder Natalie Livingston, the color of the suit doesn't matter if no one is supervising. Cursive writing, which appears to promote learning better than typing on a keyboard. Scientists used electroencephalograms to look at the brain activity of 36 students as they wrote or typed. When the students were writing by hand, their brain connectivity patterns were much more elaborate than when typing, and not just in the motor cortex. The patterns were also more complex in the parts of the brain that form memories and encode new information. There's actually some very important things going on during the embodied experience of writing by hand, said neuroscientist Ramesh Balasubramanian. It has important cognitive benefits. LSD may alleviate anxiety. The Food and Drug Administration gave the illegal drug breakthrough therapy status this year after a clinical trial found that a single dose of the LSD formulation MM120 brought immediate and lasting results. Nearly half the patients were still in remission 3 months after the dose. Unlike most recent research into psychedelics, the trial didn't involve therapists actively guiding the patients through the trip. Daniel Carlin from MindMed, the drug's developer, says the improvement for many participants was more than double what we see with today's standard of care. Touch can lessen depression, anxiety, and even pain. While human touch is best, objects such as robots or weighted blankets also provide benefits. Women benefit more than men, and the sick or those in pain more than the healthy. The type and duration of touch isn't important, but the frequency is. A single massage won't suffice. More consensual touch events throughout the day can help alleviate or potentially buffer against mental and physical complaints, said co-author Helena Hartman. The internet makes you happy, provided you're 50 or over. Looking at 90,000 adults in 23 countries, researchers found that seniors who surfed the net had a 9% reduction in depressive symptoms and a 15% rise in health scores compared with those who rarely or never went online. Systems engineer Quinping Zhang says the findings make intuitive sense. For older adults, the internet can be a lifeline to social connections, services, and information that may be harder to access otherwise. Eating veggies could help reduce snoring. In a large study, those who ate the most fruits and vegetables were nearly 20% less likely to have sleep apnea, the respiratory condition that causes heavy snoring, than those who consumed the least. People who ate lots of processed meat and junk food, though, were significantly more likely to have sleep apnea. That could be because a plant-based diet can reduce inflammation and obesity, the key factors in sleep apnea risk. Vegetables, fruits, and nuts are abundant in nutrients, antioxidants, and anti-inflammatory compounds, says sleep scientist Dan Gartenberg, which ultimately decrease oxidative stress in the body. And some of the things we were told to avoid. Siblings, which make teenagers more prone to depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem. Researchers compared data from the U.S. and China, which has lots of only children because of its former one-child policy. The best mental health outcomes were found in only children in both countries and in Americas with one sibling. Still, other studies say having siblings can bring benefits, such as better social skills. I don't think parents should shape their fertility decisions around this evidence, said co-author Douglas Downey. Mile-high boozing can put a strain on plane passengers' hearts. An environment with low air pressure, such as at 30,000 feet, tends to decrease oxygen levels in the blood and increase the heart rate, just as alcohol does. Researchers asked 48 people to spend two nights in either a normal sleep laboratory or an altitude chamber, one night after drinking and the other after abstaining. The combination of booze and high altitude conditions led to a strain on the cardiovascular system and long periods of low blood oxygen levels. Onboard drinking, the study author says, is an underestimated health risk. Xylitol may be associated with a risk of heart attack or stroke. The sugar substitute has been found to increase the rate at which blood platelets form clots, and a three-year study showed that people with high levels of it in their blood plasma had roughly double the risk of heart attack, stroke, or death than those with low levels. People may think they're making a healthy choice by picking xylitol over sugar, says study author Stanley Hazen. Yet the data argues that is not the case. Bottled water is teeming with microscopic bits of plastic. A study found that a liter of bottled water has an average of 240,000 plastic bits, nearly all of them nanoplastics, just 1/1000th the width of a human hair. Nanoplastics are so small that they can move through the tissue into the bloodstream, distributing potentially harmful substances such as BPA, phthalates, and flame retardants throughout our organs. If a plastic makes its way into us, says chemist Sherry Mason, who was not involved in the study, it's carrying those chemicals with it. Donuts, which can make you look puffy. Refined carbohydrates spike blood sugar levels, causing the body to release insulin and then go into hypoglycemia, which affects blood flow to the skin. Researchers gave subjects breakfast with either refined or unrefined carbs and photographed them 2 hours later. When other people assessed the images, they judged the refined carb group to be less attractive. Author Claire Berdekat says that's a reminder that diet affects not just health, but also traits having a particular social importance. Vaping alters your DNA. Scientists compared samples of cheek cells from vapers with cells from cigarette smokers. They found that the cells in both groups had been substantially altered through a process known as epigenetics, in which environmental and lifestyle factors transform the way our DNA is expressed. The changes allow the cells to divide more quickly and therefore potentially develop into tumors. The same mutations were seen in smokers with lung cancer. Lead author Chiara Herzog says that while the findings don't definitively prove that e-cigarettes cause cancer, it is important to explore their potential long-term risks. Scented candles, which give off harmful chemicals. When paraffin candles burn, they release volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, just like the fumes from paints, cleaning products, and car exhaust. These include toluene, a federally regulated neurotoxin, and formaldehyde, a known carcinogen. Candles made from natural alternatives such as soy wax and beeswax are less polluting, but still emit some VOCs, particularly if they are scented or dyed. Burning candles contributes to poor air quality, said Sarah Evans, an environmental medicine professor, and increases the risk of inhalation exposure to chemicals of concern. And the big scientific breakthroughs of 2024. Catching a rocket. SpaceX pulled off a jaw-dropping feat this year, flying a giant rocket booster back to its launch site and using two chopstick-like mechanical arms to catch it in midair. The elegance of the maneuver belied its scale. The Starship rocket's super-heavy booster is taller than a 20-story building, and it weighs more than 200 tons. The catch was a major step toward making the vehicle completely reusable, more like a jetliner than a rocket. Such spacecraft could help put astronauts on the surface of the moon and then head on to Mars. SpaceX engineer Katie Tice called it a day for the engineering history books. A map of ourselves. A groundbreaking initiative to map all 37 trillion cells in the human body is reshaping how we understand biology. While some 200 types of cells have previously been identified, the Human Cell Atlas Project has found thousands more, and scientists believe subtle mutations in them may be the cause of many diseases. Project co-founder Aviv Regev says the advance is like moving from 15th century maps of the world to the detail we see today on Google Maps. This is essential for us to understand and treat disease, she says. Twice-yearly HIV shot. A new antiviral drug to prevent HIV proved so effective in a clinical trial this year that scientists halted the study and offered the drug to all participants. Lenacapavir is given by injection every 6 months, a huge advantage over the current preventive regimen, a daily pill. So far, not one of the more than 2,100 women given the treatment in Uganda and South Africa has contracted the virus, while 1.5% of those taking the pills did get HIV. Researcher Linda Gale Becker says the stunning success gave her cold shivers. Deciphering writing using AI. A Roman scroll that was burned to a crisp in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79 has been partially deciphered using artificial intelligence. The algorithm analyzed CT scans of the scroll and filed in missing letters and words, filled in missing letters and words to reveal an Epicurean musing on pleasure. Archaeologists hope this innovation will open up a world of ancient writings to scholars. The scroll was one of 800 discovered in a villa in the buried Roman town of Herculaneum, and the town's main library may contain tens of thousands more. Pig to human kidney transplant. A pig kidney was successfully transplanted into a human for the first time this year, a breakthrough that could offer hope to the 90,000 Americans on the kidney transplant waiting list. Surgeons at Massachusetts General Hospital attached the organ from a genetically modified pig in a four-hour operation. The patient, Rick Slayman, 62, showed no signs of rejecting the new kidney, and it began producing urine shortly after the surgery. He died 2 months later from causes thought to be unrelated to the transplant. Rick said that one of the reasons he underwent this procedure was to provide hope for the thousands of people who need a transplant to survive, his family said. Rick accomplished that goal. So in a usual week, I don't get to the arts section very often, but we've got a number of lists here that I think you might be interested in, sort of the best of in books, movies, etc. These are curated from a lot of different sources, and they've kind of weighted and combined them. So I'll read about the top choice in each one and then just sort of run through the list in case you want to refer back to it. So in the review of books, the Critics' Choice, the year's best novels, the number one choice is a book called James by Percival Everett. Percival Everett's brilliant latest novel tears down and rebuilds a cultural landmark, said Dwight Garner in the New York Times. A bold reimagining of Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, it largely retains the outline of the original, except that the perspective has shifted. Here we see Huck's raft trip down the Mississippi through the eyes of his enslaved adult companion, who prefers James to Jim, secretly reads widely, and consciously speaks in an unschooled patois to prevent white people from seeing him as a threat. But Everett is not taking on Twain to score easy points. This thrilling and soulful novel is a tangled and subversive homage that sharply illuminates what the American experiment truly looked like circa 1861. To call James a retelling would be an injustice, said Tyler Austin Harper in The Atlantic. Everett has repurposed Huck Finn and in the process has engineered a systematic dismantling of a tired narrative staple. The black man or woman who exists to morally enlighten a fallen but basically redeemable white protagonist. In James, black oppression is poisonous to its victims, not sanctifying. And the others, top novels of the year, number two is called All Fours by Miranda July. Number three is Martyr by Kaveh Akbar, that's A-K-B-A-R. Number four is Colored Television by Danzy Senna. Number five is Creation Lake by Rachel Kushner. And the top pick for the year's best nonfiction is a book called I Heard Her Call My Name by Lucy Santee, S-A-N-T-E. For most of her 7 decades on Earth, the writer Lucy Santee was stuck living the wrong life, said Lydia Haas in the New Republic. Born in 1954 as Luke Santee, She knew since childhood that she was transgender, but resisted the idea until age 66. By Santee's usual standards, this book feels disarmingly frank, because it includes a direct account of her coming to consciousness as a transgender woman. But because Santee can't break the habits of mind she developed as an author and critic while building her earlier identity, it's also about taste in art and music and crushes in books and clothes, and about the way that taste can build and sustain or obscure a self. On the page, Santee is funny and warm, said Jessica Ferry in the Washington Post. Beyond that, the new life that she's discovered for herself gives her journey, in retrospect, a rosy tint. I heard her call my name will undoubtedly become a standard for others who are making their own trans journey, and yet it speaks to a wider audience, too. Anyone who needs to stop punishing themselves for wanting what they want. And the rest of the nonfiction list, number two, Challenger by Adam Hittingbotham. Number three, Knife by Salman Rushdie. Number four, Everyone Who Is Gone Is Here by Jonathan Blitzer. And number five, The Barn by Wright Thompson. And here we have music and film. The Critics' Choice for the Best Albums of 2024. Number one choice is Charlie XCX by Brat. Oh, excuse me. Showing my ignorance here. Brat is the album by Charlie XCX. Excuse me. It's impossible to deny the cultural impact Brat had on 2024. Said Emlyn Travis in Entertainment Weekly. Cheeky, hedonistic, and refreshingly vulnerable, Charlie XCX's slick, dirty pop juggernaut became the lime green inspiration for countless Brat summer memes. But it wouldn't have captured the world's attention without the music. A near perfect culmination of the glitchy, leaving last night's party at 2 p.m. vibes that Charlie has been churning out for the better part of her career. Brat isn't merely 2024's most pungent pop record, said Chris Richards in the Washington Post. It's as close to a pop masterpiece as the 21st century will allow. It adds to our world a new kind of pop music, one that feels ecstatic and overblown, while somehow reflecting this paranoid moment. Number two is the album Tiger's Blood by Waxahachie. Number three, Manning Fireworks by M.J. Linderman. Number four, Hit Me Hard and Soft by Billie Eilish. And number five, Cowboy Carter by Beyoncé. They list three songs of the year. The number one is Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar. Not Like Us achieved what most diss tracks do not. It became as big of a song as its target, said Hanif Abdurraqib in The New Yorker. A pop chart number one hit, Kendrick Lamar's teardown of fellow rap icon Drake was played by marching bands and at sporting events, making it impossible for Drake to fashion a musical response. The song's joyously repetitive beat aided its staying power, said Vincent Cunnington, also in The New Yorker. It sounds like the beach and a cookout all at once. The number two song was Good Luck, Babe by Chapel Roan. And the number three song, Girl So Confusing by Charlie XCX featuring Lorde. We've got a top 10 list for movies. The number one movie of the year, according to this list, is Anora, A-N-O-R-A. Anora is many things at once, said Dana Stevens in Slate. A screwball comedy, a road movie, a romantic drama, and more. It's funny and sexy and raucous while also being startlingly wise and tender. Mikey Madison delivers a star-making turn as a spirited young stripper from Brooklyn's Brighton Beach, who marries the son of a Russian oligarch after a three-day whirlwind. But after a few henchmen are sent in to break up the union, the ensuing plot turns are unexpected. And if you can make it through Honora's final 5 minutes without being deeply moved, you might want to take the Turing test. The rest of the list, number two is Nickel Boys, three, Challengers, four was The Brutalist, five, All We Imagine as Light, six, I Saw the TV Glow, seven was Dune Part Two, eight, Hard Truths, nine, A Real Pain, number 10, Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World. And we'll go on over to television, the year's best TV. The number one show there was Shogun. There's a reason this series won 18 Emmy Awards, said Lily Loughborough in the Washington Post. The TV equivalent of a page-turner, Shogun condenses a dense 1975 novel about 1600s Japan into a streamlined political thriller that doubles as a comedy, and sometimes a tragedy of manners. The story opens with the arrival of English navigator who must quickly decipher the Baroque politics of a succession battle. It then moves swiftly into what really matters, the thrilling chess matches between the principals, with an interpreter played by Anna Sawai emerging as the spiritual center of the series. That is on FX Hulu. And the rest of that list, number two is The English Teacher. Number three is called Industry. Four is Somebody Somewhere. Five is Hacks. Six, Ripley. Seven, Baby Reindeer. Number eight, Phantasmus. Nine, Fallout. And number 10, Say Nothing. Okay, just a few minutes left to work with. Here's a technology article. Great Escape. Blue Sky welcomes the X refugees. I'm a Blue Sky user now, and I'm not looking back, said Kevin Roos in the New York Times. Last month, I joined the Exodus out of Elon Musk's toxic right-wing echo chamber. The app Blue Sky started as an internal Twitter experiment in 2019, then spun off into its own company, and has now hit 25 million users, with a full 10 million of them added in the last month, as growth surged after the election. Blue Sky looks almost exactly like Twitter of old, but it isn't owned by a capricious billionaire, and it doesn't treat its users as lab rats for AI experiments. For many Blue Sky converts, Musk's close alignment with Trump was the final straw, said Jay Wortham, also in the Times. But the rebellion has been building for a long time. Since Musk took over, the volume of hateful slurs directed at black, Jewish, trans, and queer people has soared. Look at X now, and you can instantly see how it has devolved into bot chatter, nonsensical spam, low-grade advertising. Musk turned Twitter to the right in ways that are both objectively quantifiable and widely experienced, said John Herman in New York Magazine. Users who don't want to pay Musk for verification mostly end up in X's proverbial spam folder, mostly invisible to the rest of the platform. And news organizations that have largely given up on X because a new policy discouraging posts with links to the outside web means it has become useless for building or connecting with an audience. Blue Sky also holds out a promise of control over your data, said Jonathan Vanian in CNBC.com. Its network is designed so users can take their data elsewhere if they stopped liking the app or the owners. What happened to Twitter couldn't happen to us, said Blue Sky CEO Jay Graber. But the more decent, more nuanced, more wide-ranging brand of conversation that Blue Sky promises remains a long way off, said Michael Cruz in Politico. My Blue Sky account was briefly taken down by moderators after a fellow user reported me for causing harm. My apparent crime was posting a quote from a Politico story that framed Democrats fleeing X as purity politics. That post received thousands of angry responses, calling me, among other things, a effing moron and a bitch. I've also been swamped by the Blue Sky mob, said Jesse Singal in his Substack newsletter, for swerving from progressive orthodoxy in my reporting on trans health care. Users have blocked not just me, but also anyone who follows me. And Blue Sky will allow any amount of out-of-control and hysterical rumor-mongering as long as it comes from the left. Maybe Blue Sky isn't subject to the whims of a billionaire, but it is susceptible to the dictates of a left-wing contingent walled off from reality or disagreement. Finishing up with a couple of quotes, Jerry Seinfeld says, "Not enough of life makes sense for you to be able to survive it without humor." And in that spirit, H.L. Mencken quote, "Journalism is to politician as dog is to lamppost." And with that, we have run out of time for today's episode of the week. We hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to listen again next time. This is Fred Woodward for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The week is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For more information or if you have comments or questions, please give us a call. That number is 919-832-5138. I hope you all have a great new year, and as always, thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.